One of the major problems was whether or not you allowed girls in. You see, we had a headquarters, and that was a shed outside my mother's back door of the house. What we didn't know was that owing to a slight problem that my father had in the original days, when he applied to the local council to put up a shed, you had to apply, apparently, in those days. They came back and said, oh, yes, yes, you can have a shed, but you have to have a proper tiled roof so that it fits into what we think the Garden City should look like. So my father duly tiled this thing, and it began to sink. With the weight of the tiles, the shed gradually, a little bit every year, it went down like that. It meant that my gang of little boys were able to go into it standing. And then as time went on, crouching, and then as time went on, having to go on their hands and knees and have gang meetings, all crouched inside it, while it dropped a little further. The question was whether you shared that with girls.
Indeed.
And one of my gang members had a sister who was plump, but in her own way very attractive. And we were very, very, very worried about whether or not we should include her. So we allowed her to come in as a cook. And that meant that washing up and things like that, that was her job. And so we undertook a very interesting piece of work that we decided we were going to make perfume for our parents. And of course the perfume came from various plants that we could pinch. Rose petals, oh yes, rose petals, definitely. And a lot of work went on in this place, which was gradually going down and down and down. Didn't make much money on that, I remember. I think we got the odd penny occasionally to send us away. I made more money when I went round with a tin one day, to my parents' horror, collecting for my holidays.
Oh, lovely.
I stood there rattling a tin, and people put money in it. Now, that's fascinating, because if I was really had been an entrepreneur, I would have used that, and I would have learned from that. Oh, no. I was just rather amazed that there was the clink of coins as they went in. Then, of course, my father sent me back again to give all the money back.
Indeed.
We're having to jump quite a long way into wartime. Number one, Elmwood, was occupied by a very pleasant family, with a girl roughly my age, who was very keen on horses. And she had, I think, a pony or something. And we were, as always, very short of money. We're talking about, 14 age.
Yes.
Very short of money. And the only way was to think of ways in which we could use the local advantages that we have here. The main advantage being the woods, of course. Mm. And there's nothing better than being able to go into the woods, pick up mouldy pieces of wood, cut them up, put them back into a little thing pulled by a pony, and go around flogging. Probably, yes. We were a little surprised at how difficult it was to sell. You know, people weren't sort of... They didn't jump the fact that we were offering sort of mouldy-looking logs. But anyhow, there came the day where we had been working hard trying to sell these darn things. We came back to number one Elmwood, and we tied the horse, the pony, to what was then the gate, which I presume had been the entrance to the field originally in which the houses in Elmwood were built. And here was this very interesting gate, unfortunately not for long, because the horse suddenly shied. Something happened, and the horse dashed down Elmwood, dragging the gate behind him, and was seen eventually somewhere in the middle of Parkway, standing, looking very anxious and worried, with this shattered-looking thing dragged behind him all the way. That put an end to that, I'm afraid. So, coming back to the gangs were very important in those days, I think. They were lovely because it was perfectly normal, apparently, for our parents to allow their children to disappear into the woods and not to be followed by the parents, not to be in any way sort of checked, but left to play. And there was the one place where all gangs met, and that was Six Ways and the wonderful bushes. And gangs of little boys and the odd girl or two would be seen inside the bushes, spying on people, doing all the things that little boys felt were very important. In our case, it was capturing escaped convicts for some reason. For some reason, we had it in our mind that the woods, being very large, and there was no end to the woods, they just went on and on and on. There was a general feeling that the place was riddled with escaped convicts, and it was our job to apprehend them and bring them back into the law. And well, that was marvellous, because half the time you were chasing other gang members,
yes,
who you were convinced were escaped convicts,
yes,
who thought you were mad and were chasing you as well. And those experiences in the woods there were some of the healthiest bits of experience, to my way of thinking,
yes,
that any child could have. You were not all the time being told you can't do this,
yes,
you can't do that. The other side of the Valley Road there used to be a most interesting sort of edge to the golf course there. It was just the sort of place that little boys would love to be. There were, I don't know what it was, I suppose it might have been the place where they threw a lot of the earth that was being dug in the garden, in the creation of the Garden City. But you had a difficult little walk with a drop down one side of about 20 feet or so, just begging to be climbed and slid down and that sort of thing. Once you'd got over that, you were into thick bushes, and again, just begging to be inhabited. Oh, we did silly things. We had a very good dog, I remember, at home. And we decided that dog should join in with the pleasures that we had. And we tied a rope around the dog's neck, and he had to pull things as part of the game. He didn't like it at all. He was most upset. I mean, he just went on strike. But that was the idea generally. And so it was all part of the imagination that we were building up. So that sort of area, out just the outskirts of the Garden City, where you could really let yourself go. Knock haystacks down was one of them. Little haystacks. There was always the law somewhere around in this imagination of ours. And just occasionally that the law would turn out to be a man who saw you romping around in the hay of a rather dishevelled-looking haystack, and would announce that he was the farmer, and that if you did any more of this, young man, you would be in trouble, and I would give him. And you know, we were frightened to death, absolutely frightened.
Yes.
Doing it again next day, of course, but
yes.